So why don't we start with some prayer. Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you for the opportunity for us to get together after the tragedies of this week. Lord, we are so blessed and thankful that we choose to love you and you love us. We pray, Lord, for the peace of all those affected and impacted by this week. And we pray, Lord, for the peace that only you can bring amongst all this fear and anxiety. We trust you so much, Lord. Help us sing your praises today, Lord, with shouts of noises and singing. And we pray, Lord, that you speak through Chris this morning, that we can all learn and dive deeper into our faith. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
So I have a confession to start. I realized this weekend that my laptop doesn't have PowerPoint. So we're going old-fashioned style here. You break out your Bibles if you want to see the scripture that I'm going to be reading. I'm going to be starting in Acts. The first is going to be Acts 20, 7 through 12. And so, on the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, kept on talking until midnight. There were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting. Seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. When he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, and put his arms around him. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "He's alive." Then he went upstairs again, broke bread, and ate. After talking until daylight, he left. The people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted. The next part from Acts that I'm going to read is actually earlier. It's Acts 17, 7 through 20. So he reasoned in the synagogue with both Jews and God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace day by day with those who happened to be there. A group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to debate him. Some of them asked, "What is this babbler trying to say?" Others remarked, "He seems to be advocating foreign gods." They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Then they took him and brought him to a meeting of the Areopagus, where they said to him, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? You are bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and we would like to know what they mean." So I'm starting off this sermon reading these two because this was actually what I was reading when the idea for this sermon came up. I've always been fascinated by Paul's ability to just talk to everyone and anyone about Jesus. And we often talk about him in evangelism, but we don't often talk to him in the sense of apologetics. As a base understanding, I'm going to give two definitions that I'm going to be working off of. The first is evangelism. Evangelism comes from a Greek word called euangelion, which means gospeling. So evangelism is the proclamation of the gospel. Apologetics, on the other hand, comes from the Greek word apologia, which means defense. People know apologetics as the defense of faith. However, I'm going to define it slightly different. I'm going to break it into three different ways for us to understand apologetics. The first is knowing what you believe. The second is knowing why you believe it. And the third is being able to effectively communicate that to others. So just to give a background for my appreciation for apologetics, I'm going to share a little bit of my story. Some of you may know, some of you may not, but I was actually not raised up in the church. My parents, when they got married, there was a lot of controversy about my parents getting married. The reason for it was my mom was a Baptist, my father was a Catholic, and there was a lot of people either in the family or in the church that had a problem with this. So much that my parents had to go to a third church to get married. So this is my early understanding of Christianity, was that it was filled with just hypocrites. Kind of comically to me, the other part of Christianity that I understood was thanks to governors, because Fridays were fish fries. And back then, Sundays, everything was closed, and places had sales, specials on fish every Friday. Side note, I was 19 when I learned this was Catholics, not all Christians, and it really was nervous dating Victoria, her grandparents' pastors, parents very involved, and I was excited I was going someplace that had fish every Friday. They served pork, the next Friday they served pork, and the next Friday they served pork. And so I had to say something, because pork is take it or leave it, and that's actually how I learned that it was for Catholics, it wasn't Christians abroad. Still disappointed to this day, but that was kind of my understanding of Christianity. I always did have Christian friends throughout my life, and then eventually my senior year started going to church with a friend. I was given my first Bible by a kind old lady at the church. Obviously, King James Version, everyone's first that they're given by an elder in the church back then. And I tried learning in a very clumsy way. I do remember praying to God, asking him to be in my life. I shared this at the church, and then afterwards, the pastor came up to me and said, "We're having a baptism next week. Would you like to be baptized?" And so the next week, we walked down to the lake across from the church, and I was baptized. So this was all in the summer just before college. At the same time, I wound up being very blessed by Victoria coming into my life. I had a lot of Christian friends, but not many that could actually answer questions. Luckily, as many of you know, Victoria is a really good person to ask questions for. And so he put her in my life, and she taught me how to study the Bible, she taught me how to pray, she taught me about apologetics, and she also taught me how to study a Bible with an exegesis approach. For anyone who's not familiar with the word exegesis, it just means to pay attention to the type of literature the author was using, who they were writing it to, the audience, as well as culture and history that adds more depth, meaning, and understanding to the scripture. One of the hardest things, though, during this time was being able to give a thoughtful and detailed answer to others who would have questions. My constant experience has kind of been that I tell people I'm a Christian, and they naturally assume that I grew up in a church. And so when I tell them that I actually started going to church during my senior year of high school, and I accepted Christ afterwards, I get a lot of different answers, but usually, interesting, or most recently I had one I never would have guessed. So what I find is it usually tends to be easy for people to pass a Christian off saying, well, it's their culture. It was how they were brought up. And so when they learn that that wasn't my story, it generally leads to questions. And so some of these questions, though, do come from people who grew up a Christian. They knew the gospel, and they've dismissed it for whatever reason. And so what it usually winds up falling into is a defense of my faith. I'm talking to a lot of people who tend to think that either Christianity isn't real, it's abusive, controlling, intolerant, and just there's a wide variety of reasons why people dismiss Christianity. So I come to the scripture. Last spring, I was reading through Acts. And at that time, I was having coworkers who started asking me questions about Christianity. And one of them wanted to know, did I have an intellectual basis for Christianity? Or, as his mother would always tell him, you just need to have faith. So I got to sit down and talk to him about apologetics. He had never heard about apologetics before. And this also was in time of reading this section of Acts that I started with. Seems kind of simple to me now, but this is the first time that I ever really thought of Paul, not as the sense of an evangelist, but as an apologist. When I think of Paul, he obviously didn't grow up as a Christian. Paul was actually had everything. He was high standing in the Hebrew community. He was high standing in society. And he gave it all up to travel and reach people in the name of Christ. I can only imagine he had to be defending his faith every minute, because if I was then, I would be asking the same thing. I'm like, tell me about this. Why did you do this? And then he would need to tell me in a logical manner, because giving up all that, I'd be quick to dismiss him. It'd be easy to dismiss him as being crazy, having lost his mind, giving all that up. But he didn't. It always just amazed me that he has these stories of talking through the night about Christ. So the problem we have today with apologetics, I find, is that people view it as a philosophical debate. People tend to view it as a secondary or tertiary aspect of Christianity. It's something that if you go to a Christian university, you might minor in. But what we've done is separated evangelism and apologetics in a way that I would say is not biblical. Apologetics can help develop intellectual understanding of the Christian message with the goal of either strengthening one's faith or attracting others to follow Christ. So, as I had said earlier, the word apologetics comes from the word apologia. And this is known as coming from 1 Peter 3 through 15. So if you want to follow along, I'm going to go to 1 Peter 3:8 through 3:16. I want to dive into the full text to give a little bit more understanding of what we're looking at. So finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see the good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and the ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, I just lost my spot, there we go. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give the reason for your hope you have, but do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. So, 3:15, as I said, is where we get the word apologia from. And I'm going to repeat it one more time. Says, be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope you have. The reason why I've read this in this larger section is the rest of it tells us how it's applied. If we go back to 8, it does say all of you. It didn't really narrow it down. It applies to all of us. And it tells us to be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. And then importantly, the end of 3:15 says we are to do this with gentleness and respect. Too often when we look at apologetics, it's viewed combatively. It's used with defensiveness. And unfortunately in today's society, people are becoming more aggressive when talking with someone they disagree with. So
someone who has a different opinion. We're quick to start throwing around different terms and labeling people. We label them with different phobias. We put down one's intellect by calling them ignorant. And unfortunately, we focus on winning at all costs. I can speak to this because before Christ, this is how I viewed a debate to go. My job is to win at all costs. I remember having a teacher that told my parents I was one of the best debaters she'd ever had in the classroom. And in reality, I would say I wasn't, because I just didn't care about other people's feelings, didn't care about their emotions. I wanted them to lose, and I wanted them to know they lost. And unfortunately, that is how we operate in today's society, and that's how, unfortunately, a lot of Christians can operate as well, particularly when it comes to apologetics. But the thing that we also have here in 9 through 14 is it says, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. I do love how God does this. He takes one sentence and tells us how we're to behave. And then he takes the next five verses and stops us from us saying, but God, they're being mean to me. And he says, no, you are not to repay that. It is just a delight to see how he preemptively tells us, no, you, my word is my word, and there is, you're not making an exception here. So, what I'm going to say is something you probably all know. I want you to all remember, questions are okay. Questions about God from you, me, and others. And I also want you to know it's okay to not know an answer when somebody asks you a question. But I want to encourage you to remember that our faith actually does make sense. We do operate off faith. I'm not undermining that. But our faith does make sense. And we're able to tell people how it does make sense. God gives us reasons for belief that we have, and those reasons can be revealed as we study the Bible. I do want to take a time and let you and just acknowledge that you may be in a season in your life where this feels impossible, or studying has never been your strength. I will be completely honest. Back when I started in my walk with Christ, still to this day, you know, I tried a lot of different ways to follow God and to try to understand God. One thing my wife is very good at is journaling, taking notes. And I've tried. I have tried, and I cannot do it, I'll be honest. I cannot do that, just like I also cannot underline in a book, which some people find interesting. So I have to remember where I was in the book because it just feels wrong to me. Not criticizing anyone who does that. That may be the way you learn. I appreciate that. But everyone has different strengths and different approaches, and I need to recognize that. But, and then you also, your closeness with God may come from your own experiences. And I want you to know that's okay too. I'm not criticizing someone for any of this. God speaks to us in many different ways. He designed the world the way he did, and he designed it with so many different ways to reach him. But I do want to say, if you're a person who you say this feels impossible or studying is not your strength, take some time. Listen to a podcast that may give you more information about God. If you're not familiar with Bible Project video is a great resource as well. You can take it. Listen to it as you unwind for a few minutes. They're not terribly long. But I will say you might be surprised with what you're learning and how that drives you to actually want to learn more about God. The one thing I will say is doing this will also, once again, lead to questions. As I said, they are okay to have questions. It's why we're in a community. And if you have questions, please share it with someone else who might know the answer or can help you find the answer. I will say, I think one of the dangerous things is when we don't actually ask those questions. I've met plenty of people who have had questions that have not been asked. And I will say, back in college, I referred to them as somebody who's smart enough to put themselves in a box, but not able to get themselves out of it. And we can be that key to get those people out of that box by being able to answer those questions or directing them to where those answers lie. We don't ever know when God is going to put someone in our path who has these questions. Being a follower of Christ really does give you a life filled with adventure. You just never know. It's unexpected adventures time and time again. You never know who's going to come, what questions they're going to have. God just puts people in your path. The exciting thing for us that I've learned over life is that these questions and these opportunities add new depth to the Christian walk. I find my time of greatest growth in my life has been from times where I've had to be able to answer those questions. For people who also don't know about my walk with Christ, after college, wound up now wife, girlfriend at the time, then shortly fiance, said, "Hey, we're going to teach Sunday school." I had never been to a Sunday school in my life. And I helped co-facilitate Sunday school for 4th through 6th grade. And it really forced me to be able to answer questions to kids, and it forced me to grow. Then God did call us to be youth leaders. Trust me, I did not want to be a youth leader. I couldn't shake it, and I kept telling Victoria, "I think we're supposed to be youth leaders." And she was like, "Sure." I'm like, "No, I don't want to be, but I can't shake this feeling." And I'm thankful I listened to God. At the end of a finance meeting that I pestered Victoria all day, because I was like, "I think we're supposed to be youth leaders." And she's like, "Not now, it's a finance meeting." Somebody stood up at the end and said, "We've had this budget, small budget for a youth pastor for years. We've never proactively followed it. We need to pray whether this is something that we should continue." At that point, Victoria looked at me and said, "Okay." But I will say, it was the greatest growth opportunity of my life. I would not be where I am in my journey if it wasn't for those kids. Sorry. I did bring a tissue because I do cry, and I knew there's points I would not be able to. The thing is, what this does, this mindset of helping out others to understand faith, being able to answer those questions, answer why we believe, and being able to give a logical thought process to how we believe it, really changes a focus as a Christian. It changes our walk. It takes a Bible study from just reading it and looking at it for theological truths for myself in my own life, to keeping my mind and heart open for what helps me explain my faith to someone. It takes my prayer life and switches it from just my daily struggles into those who I'm close to praying for those who are spiritually confused and for wisdom in those interactions that I have with them. I've said this many times, and I don't even know where I originally heard it, but people are looking for answers. And if the church is not willing or able to answer them, then people will get their theology elsewhere. Research tells us that most people who believe in God in the United States believe that God is good, he wants us to be nice to each other, and that good people go to heaven. This is not really the richness of our faith. We could have so much more when we truly know God in the Holy Trinity, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And God has given us this book for answers. There's so many answers, you can't possibly know them all in one lifetime. And more importantly, we also need to have the humility to recognize that. As a personal story to that, I will say my wife's grandfather is the reason why I can remember this, is he's an incredible pastor. He has a doctorate, he's a reverend doctor. Very humble man. He does not ever ask to be called reverend doctor, which always impresses me, especially since he got his doctorate from Princeton. He's a brilliant man who studies the Bible all the time, and I love talking to him because we just celebrated his 90th birthday last weekend, and he still will tell me new things that he's learned in the Bible to this day. So no matter what life brings, life will bring neighbors, co-workers, as my story starts with. It will bring strangers into our lives. There's different opportunities in today's society with how our world is changing. We're getting a flood of new immigrants into our society. These are people who need to hear about Christ and give us opportunities to share Christ in different ways. But we also must have that humility because many of these people also can share about Christ with us, and we can learn so much from them as well. I'll say with the events this past week, we may experience people who are grieving, people who witness senseless acts. And they're going to have questions. How can you believe in a God who is good and all-powerful when things like Lewiston happen? When wars take place? When my mother, brother, sister, or child has died? We must be able to be humble, gentle, and loving in these moments. We need to empathize with the pain and look whether they're really looking for answers. I will say this is something that's hard, because behind questions, sometimes there are people who are looking for answers and sometimes they're not. And I do recognize that is difficult. But they're looking, if they are looking for answers, the reason why they're looking is they want us to attest for the hope that we have in Christ and share in an understanding of why suffering exists in this world. We need to remember that God grieves with us. He grieves with his children when they're hurting. So I just want to remind us all that our spiritual life was never intended to be lived in isolation from the rest of the body of Christ. It was not designed to be in isolation from a hurting, lost, and dying world. When your spiritual life comes into contact with this world, they will want to know what the reason for your hope is and why that hope is within you. We need to be able to give it to them. So, I do know I'm well ahead of the schedule, but I will ask the worship team to come forward as I finish up with my last statement. I want to remind us that studying does not mean locking yourself in the closet by all means. I want to remind us that Heidi has a study coming up on Sunday mornings, that we have one on Monday nights here that we're going through Hebrews, and that Roland has a study that actually connects very well with the sermon today. He's going through The Case for Christ, which is an apologetics book. I want to recognize that there may be someone here who feels called to start a study or has a book in the Bible or a topic that they have questions about. I want to encourage you to be able to ask that, to be able to share that. Maybe there's other opportunities. Maybe you're someone who would like to have someone that you catch up weekly with and go through a book together. I've been blessed with a friend who I have breakfast with once a week, and we go through apologetics book a chapter at a time. I just want to take these last words to encourage you to pursue that. Thank you all. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word, the depth of your wisdom, the knowledge that you have provided to us, these minds to be able to study and try to follow the depth of your plan, of your design, Lord. I do pray that you be with everyone here. You give us the wisdom to be able to answer the world's questions, to be able to keep us humble, to help us just guide and love our community and be your hands and feet in this world, Lord. I pray for safe return home for everyone here or as they leave, Lord. in your son's precious name. Amen.